Welcome back to The Unpolished with your hosts, Angela and Kendall. Let's get into it, shall we?
Hello, 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 everybody. This is Angela and...
This is Kendall.
And we have on April. This... Yes, go ahead.
My name is April and I am from Austria Astoundance, and Austria Astoundance is my spirits and I together. And we talk about all things ghosts, astrology, and spirits and the ancestors. So yes.
We are so excited to have her on. If you guys have been longtime listeners, you would have known that April was on an episode with us called Ancestral.
She's an OG.
She was on an episode called The Ancestral Trauma, which was really illuminating for so many of our listeners. And We are so lucky to have her back. I just wanted to do a quick who she is and how I found her. So I have been a part of this Facebook group called Cosmic Queens for years and years now. And I remember back in 2019, I kept seeing this name over and over, April, April, April. And so I was like, man, I just clocked it as information, but I wasn't ready to meet with her. And then I just got that inkling, had my first reading with April, and now we're in 2024. I have been consistently talking to her as a friend, a confidant, a guide since then, and she's the real deal. So Ken and I are so excited to have her on.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. You guys have no idea. Oh my gosh.
Right before you guys, we pushed record, we were getting into some sauce, and I just hurried the girls along to be like, wait, let's just like save it for the pod and get on here. And yes.
We're just so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I know that we were discussing too. It's just something that I felt personally to discuss coming from a very vulnerable space, you know, which isn't easy for me with my tough exterior most of the time. But it was almost like this part of me, I have a Cancer moon. So for those that are into astrology, I'm deeply like warm and very empathetic, but also to my own emotions as well. And it was like something that I wanted to hold space for today, because I feel that women, and I've been noticing a pattern in my readings too, that women are really not talking enough, not showing that sometimes things can be messy, and it's really tough for them to ask for help. It's really hard for them to receive, since they take on all these different roles and they wear all these different hats. And sometimes there's a lot of stuff that's on the gram and TikTok where I understand everything is beautiful that's posted, but sometimes I appreciate a messy post. I don't know about you, but I appreciate like a little bit of a messy post. Like, oh, she too? Like, she gets it. Okay, I get it. She gets it. Like, I've been there. I know. And it makes me feel a little bit like, okay, I'm not the only one out there that's, you know, running a full-time business and, you know, taking care of the house and being a mom and being, you know, a partner and a friend. And I have a lot of clients that have become my most wonderful friends. And it's like, you know, when I come back full circle to myself, I'm asking myself those hard questions of like, you know, have we checked in? Have we asked ourselves, like, how are we doing? Like, if you really look at, you know, the four, I call it the four sacred rooms. And my spirits have told me this over and over again, enter each room every day. And the four sacred rooms are your emotional well-being, your mental well-being, your spiritual well-being. And, your physical well-being, excuse me. So mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. There we go. And each day you have to enter all four of those rooms. Now, if you stop entering one of those rooms, you're bound to see something falling apart. It's like, imagine if your house is you're the temple, the house is your body, everything. And then those rooms, you got to enter and check in. How are we doing? So your emotional well-being is like, you're just checking in and saying, how am I feeling today? And then mental, like, how are my thoughts? Are they positive? Are they negative? And if they're negative, how can I shift and change that perspective? Or how can I work on this? And then your physical, of course, we can't forget that we're in the body. And sometimes we're so, you know, overloaded with all these obligations and responsibilities that we don't even tend to our body. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of stuff online about self-care and I get all that, but part of self-care is these four sacred rooms.
Right.
You have to check in. I understand you want to give yourself facial, do your hair. I understand you want to feel fly and all that stuff. But really, truly, honestly, spiritual, your spiritual world is important. You have to connect at some point. you have to like either, you know, whoever you connect with, you know, divine wise, like if this is your ancestors, if this is God, if this is the angels, this is Jesus, it doesn't matter. As long as you're just plugging into that and, you know, just checking in, because we forget that here, this journey on earth, we're just having a human experience. This is not our real home. Our real home is heaven. Mm-hmm. So we're just here. We're just here in a little tiny earth school. That's all it really is. And we forget that that's, you know, we think this is it. It's like, no, we're deeply connected to heaven. So if you don't plug into that, you can lose sight of yourself. That's why we get the anxiety. That's why we get overwhelmed. That's why so you have to check in. But the trauma and, you know, sometimes trauma can prevent you from, you know, not using your voice or speaking up because you were told to hush, hush, or you had to be the strong one and grow up really fast. Like I grew up in a family of addicts. Now they, God bless it. They started to become sober. I think when I was about like 2 or 3, somewhere in there, and they maintained their sobriety. But I was raised, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents that lived across the street. So if I didn't have that centerpiece in my life, I don't know what I've done. But I had to grow up really fast because somehow deep in my subconscious, it's like I knew my mother was not present enough for me. And mm-hmm. I understood the assignment. Like I understood I was there to observe, but not to like say anything, or just like, I just knew that something wasn't quite sitting well with her. And, you know, she went through certain bouts of depression here and there. And I didn't understand addiction because the brain is not like, you know, other people's brains sometimes, you know, and people have different, you know, ways of looking at that. Like they have, like, they're reaching outside of themselves because they have something going on in the brain where there's not enough. I don't know what they call it. Like, I'm not an expert or anything, like serotonin or something like this. Like their happy self is like not always sparking all the time. And this is something that's also not talked about enough because people that are addicts and they're trying to maintain sobriety, they're reaching for that. They can't get it anymore. They were reaching for the alcohol to fill it. So these are things. So when people are trying to remain sober, it's deeply disturbing to them. It's like they literally are starting all over again. And they're like children almost. Like they're not children, but like, they, you know, we throw tantrums as even as adults, or like, you know, we go through our outbursts because we don't know how to cope. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the training wheels, or you don't know how to cope. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, well, the only way I saw my parents cope, you know, was they reach for alcohol, or they smoke cigarettes, or they, you know, whatever.
I remember.
And so this goes down in the generations. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I remember when my dad was in his sobriety, this is a famous saying in recovery, but when those that attend different meetings and different like recovery groups, there's a metaphor that their addiction is right outside the recovery room doing like one-handed push-ups to get stronger. So like, it's really kind of scary to think about it that way, but that's like the beast that they feel like they're fighting every day to like be there, that they, mm-hmm. they have to like stay stronger than the addiction. And that symbolism stuck with me. And I wanted to touch back on something that you had said about not having room. Like, I feel like that growing up, whether you grew up with those that were in use or in addiction, or maybe just a family that didn't talk about emotions, like it didn't have an addiction element. But I think it's a common feeling of feeling like my story doesn't have a place here because someone else's story is louder. And so I would love to talk about that, about how I think that happens in a lot of women's lives, where it's like, it doesn't have to be this grand, huge thing. It can be subtle, but it's like, we often as women, I think, take a step back for someone else's emotion, story, personality, all these things that end up creating like a lot of friction in the body and a lot of like bitterness with no place to go. And that can mm-hmm. sometimes turn into the not asking for help, the shutting down, the, you know, the rage, mm-hmm. all of these things that I feel like kind of are walking the same path.
And I think, you know, because even with, you know, Angela and I have talked about this, we have a term where it's like, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? Mm-hmm. I know that's a common phrase, but that's something we will regularly use in regards of like how you will take a step back from asking for help because like someone's going through something, right? Mm-hmm. And someone is always going through something, especially when we're talking about addiction and things like that. And so I think when you grow up and there's regularly this like bigger like energy thing, you're like, oh, I don't have space to have my own problems without them being like, well, your problem's not as big as this other problem, right? And and so, but I think that that can create sometimes a resentment of like, oh, this person is so comfortable receiving help constantly. Why did I not get any help? Just because my problem was in a different arena, you know?
Right. Right. Absolutely. And I, you know, it's something that when I was, I hope my words aren't misinterpreted, when I was talking about how sometimes adults turn into children, because when you have addictions, literally all that time they spent drinking and not dealing with their problems, it basically hit the pause button on their development, not physically, but emotionally and all those things. So I've noticed that how my parents were viewing things and how they were coping with things, they were trying to work on those things, but they were like stuck in these tapes, these like old tapes. And I was so little, and if you check where your Lilith is in your natal chart, you will know like a little bit more about kind of like your childhood and some of the darker aspects of yourself. But I learned a lot about my Lilith. So if you really want to find out who the hell you really are, honey, check out your Lilith placement and there you go. So, but anyway, my point is I'm bringing this up because that's where that's where that birthing of that shadow part of yourself is like coming out from your childhood. But anyway, I learned a lot by just leaning into that and just natal chart wise, but going back to family, it's like, I've noticed that their growth, like it was completely stopped, and I was the parent and I was watching them have like tantrums in their own way. Like, and when I say tantrums, it's like you have an emotional outburst or an anger outburst or something like this, or, you know, they don't know how to cope emotionally with something and you're standing there trying to calm everything down. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I meant by saying that. It's sort of like, wait, I thought I was the kid and you're the adult and you, yeah, it's just something.
Well, and when something is triggered up inside of you, I do feel like we go back to our child selves. You know what I mean? Like it's like your rational brain turns off.
And it's interesting because all the things that my mother couldn't say and all the things that my father couldn't say, I am saying them today. And the thing is part of integrating ancestral healing through the bloodlines is sometimes your parents really didn't know how to, or they couldn't do it, or they couldn't cope with it, you know? And you find yourself like, why is this so difficult for me to get through A, B, C, and D? Like whatever you're faced up against, you know, or whatever you're dealing with at the time. And you're asking yourself these really important questions of like, why this is so difficult. Well, really, truly, you're carrying it for your mom. And you're carrying it for your dad, and you're healing it for your mom, and you're healing it for your dad. And you're not only healing it for your mother, you're healing it for the grandmother. And you're not only healing it for your father, you're healing it for his father. Mm-hmm. And you said, my God, this is why it's so heavy. This is why it's so heavy. I'm crying. I am for everything that they could not feel, for everything they could not talk about, I am the person that's doing it. I'm the person feeling it through and healing it. And I'm the person talking about it. And I didn't understand that. And I wish someone would have told me that. I mean, after just, you know, being in and out of therapy and stuff like that, I utilized a lot of my spirituality to help myself heal. And it was the only thing that kept me, I felt normal in those spaces. And this is why I held on so tightly to this, because it's something I completely understood how to better help myself through natal chart readings, through Reiki practitioner people that I've met over the years, and through psychics and mediums, because I was so heightened intuitively. So I can always be on like that, you know, like knowing what to do for my parents or knowing how to react. And I was in this constant state of survival all the time. But that actually was the building blocks of what led me to be the woman I am today.
Right.
You know, and how can I help
and
the people
the
around me?
Capacity to alchemize it for yourself and for others as a gift, you know?
Correct. Yeah, correct. And I understood the assignment. Obviously, your natal chart is the screenshot constellation of what your mother's message to you is upon birth and your father's message to you upon birth is. Everything is speaking through that, including your ancestors. A lot of people just look at it for face value. I don't. There's a depth that goes into it, and you can understand the whys and the hows to get through it.
Yeah,
by
April,
utilizing those strengths and everything like that. Yeah.
Will you explain for the people who are not familiar with natal charts what that kind of, in summary, like when you're saying this is the message from your mother, this is the message from your father, and this
sure.
time, what a natal chart is and kind of how someone is able to look at that or find that?
So your sun sign, that is like, you know, your what everybody calls themselves. Oh, I'm a Scorpio, or oh, I'm a Libra, or oh, I'm an Aquarius. That's your sun sign. Sun is the father. And then when you look at your moon sign, you'll say my moon sign is in Libra or my moon sign is in Virgo. You know, that is your mother's message to you through that sign. And that's the message that it's speaking, you know? So it's like sort of like, okay. And it's also your internal world, which is the moon sign, but it's also the mother speaking.
Okay, whether, this is blowing my mind because I did not know this.
Yeah. I've never heard it phrased like that. And my ears are perked. Like once
me
you
too.
Said,
I
yeah,
just
once
had
you
a
said,
visceral
like,
reaction.
Yeah, I literally like was picking at my toe. Sorry, I'll cut that in post. But I was picking at my toe. And then when you're like, it's your mother and your father's message is your natal chart, which I know between the three of us how to look at my birth chart, my birth rising, and we can like write I'll leave a helpful link in the show notes if you guys want to look up your charts. But I've never heard it phrased like your mother's message is this part and your father's. I'm just like mind blown.
Oh, absolutely. You guys have no idea. This is why
Kendall's Virgo moon is quaking.
No, my Virgo moon is like literally quaking. I can just like hear my mother's
you
voice.
Know what I'm
get
saying?
Your shit together.
So for instance, you guys, so check this out. So,
oh my
so
God, I'm happy.
When your sun sign is your father's message to you upon your sun sign is your father's message to you upon birth.
That tracks.
Mm-hmm. Really, yeah.
And so basically, if you look into the energies of that sign, right, this is what your father is saying to you. Like, okay, all the things, like for Angela's an Aquarius.
Yeah.
All things that are encompassed with the energies of Aquarius, your father's going here. Yeah. You know, you have the liberation to do whatever you want. And typically, like Aquariuses come from past lives of where there was a lot of restrictive energy around institutions, religion, or war. So so they came into this life to change that, where they're looking for a little bit of the liberations and the freedoms, you know, doing kind of walking a path all their own, where they're not told what to do. So perhaps her father knew her in a past life and understood those restrictions. Excuse me for coughing. And understood those restrictions. So and maybe said, here, I'm handing over the torch to you in the sun sign of Aquarius, knowing that you came into this world and you are to liberate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That tracks. And then the moon sign is your mother's message to you, because moon is the mother. And yes, it represents your internal world, all your feelings, but it's also your mother's message to you going, okay, like for instance, I have a moon in Cancer. So Cancer is happy with that, you know, the moon is happy with Cancer right there because Cancer is ruled by the moon. And my mother is speaking to me through that placement saying, hey, you're going to have to mother yourself because I can't be here for it. And it also means that my mother could pass before her time. And she did. She's not here no more. So it's like, so because the sign of Cancer represents the family and it represents typically the female ancestors of the family. And if you see a lot of Cancerian placements in a natal chart, it speaks about the dead. It means the dead are speaking. It means your ancestors are speaking. I know that sounds so dark the way I'm wording it, but it's like your ancestors are speaking because that sign represents your ancestors. So that basically means my mother saying to me, I won't be here for you fully. you're going to have to grow up fast and mother yourself, because Cancer is like everyone's mother. That sign represents that energy and what she's saying to you, but you will have help and support from the other side because your ancestors will be with you and be with you more so than the average person, because Cancerian placements means that they have heavy dominant ancestral protection more so than the average Joe. Mm-hmm. And so that's my mother's message.
Dang it's it, deep, guys. Isn't it? No, I like literally have tears in my eyes.
I know, it's so sweet too. And I mean, indulgent for just 1 second, but my youngest Shep is a Cancer, and he was like, you know, prayed for and tried for years. And my grandma's mm-hmm. passed before they sent him down. Like literally the timing is basically mm-hmm. like they passed and then I was pregnant. I conceived like a couple months later, and he was mm-hmm. covered in those like angel birthmark, like all mm-hmm. over his face when he was first born. And I swear to you, I was just like, those are grandma kisses for sure. Like, I'm like, yeah. you can't tell me different. Yeah. He's a Cancer and he's so just like a gift from the grandmas. It's so sweet.
He's a gift from the female ancestors in your family. That's what the sign of Cancer represents. He's the gift.
So sweet.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh yeah. He really is. And my Cancer it. Rising oh my too. Gosh. I'm like, hello. Wow. Okay. Well, so do you have thoughts on like a fire? Like, can we just run through for the listeners, like fire moons, earth moons?
Sure.
Water moons and air moons, just so if someone's like, oh, well, I don't have a Cancer moon, like, does my mom not want to talk?
Like, sure. Well, here's the thing.
Ancestors are busy.
So here's the thing. With fire moons, I mean, just lean into that essence of the sign. So let's just say you have a Sagittarius moon, right? So your mother's basically saying you are to open your mind to, you know, new knowledge. Don't be so restricted with certain amounts of knowledge and be very cultured. Travel the world. Learn more. Teach, because Sagittariuses are the teachers of the zodiac. So they're very freedom-based, but they're also always eager to learn more. They love gaining knowledge and they love sharing it. That's why they're good teachers. And so Aries also with fire. So Aries is, you know, I know there's just, there's a lot of like, ha 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 Aries moon, right? Kind of stuff. But Aries moons, I mean, if they're going to get anything done, it'll be them. But the question is whether or not they'll finish it. So they struggle to finish things, you know, they struggle a little bit there. So Aries moons, you have to finish your stuff. You're passionate. We love you, but you got to finish your things. But that's the mother's message to Aries moons. And then if you get into like a little bit of, who's next? Oh, Leo. Oh, Leo moons. You got to be first. You feel most comfortable being royal. So there's a bit of a leader in you. You could be the leader of your home and your children. The children will always be drawn to you, and the men will want to get you pregnant very quick. So watch out for that.
Watch out. Because
Leo moons, they get pregnant really fast, but they always meet the partners that want to get them pregnant right away. So if you're not looking to get pregnant, be careful. Because Leo represents babies. For water moons, if you have we talked about Cancer. So Scorpio moons, and then we got, what's next? Pisces moons. Pisces is cinema. So a lot of Pisces moons, yes, they're very sensitive, but there's also depths to them. So they make everything beautiful. Like their surroundings is beautiful. They have to have a very serene, very tranquil space. They have to take a lot of baths, but also they might find themselves in cinema. I believe Frank Sinatra has a Pisces moon. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Elvis has a Pisces moon. So they're people that step into like fame, or they step in front of the camera. And for some reason, the camera just, well, for very good reasons, the camera loves them. They have a very luminous look. They're always very attractive. Something about them just looks very almost cartoonish. It's like, are they real? Like, what's happening? Like, they just have like that presence and charisma, and the camera loves them. So, and Pisces moons have to be very careful of being self-deceptive. They often are they want to believe the fantasy so much that they are willing to blind themselves from the reality. and then they get themselves in a lot of problems. They're the ones that scare me a little bit when they call me on my readings. I'm like, oh my God, it's the Pisces.
She said Pisces. She's like, my Pisces worry me. Yeah. They love drugs lovingly. They just like, they love escapism. So you worry because they live in their own Delulu. it's
love. They can. And so they have to work on it. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
It's charming too, but it also can be, I can see why they would worry you, you know?
I'm a Taurus sun, so it's like, it's easy for me to be practical about things, but I usually ground everybody. You know, there's an essence mm-hmm. in me that grounds people. So like when I get these calls from Pisces, I'm like, okay, I hang up the phone and I do say about 3 prayers. I'm like, please God, Lord, just get them to see.
This really does track.
That's reality.
Oh, yeah. So tracks. But like, we love, like, we, Angela and I talk about, because we both have several Pisces in our life.
Yeah.
So we love you. It's like, we love them. We have them. Yeah. It's like, there is no one who is like better at like showing up when you need someone. They are absolutely there to, like, there are so many, but they do love to be living in their Delulu. Like, they're like, this is my reality. Come visit when you'd like.
Let me tell you something. It's the Pisces clients that I have are some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. They contact me and they're like, April, are you good? Is everything good? They're very sweet, so kind, so giving, so caring, but so much so that I worry about the wrong people around them. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. One of my best friends is a Pisces, and if she has, let's say, $50, she's giving $45 to someone she met that day that she felt like, if she's just, I worry that she will put herself in a bad position to be compassionate to someone else. It's very sweet, but I worry too. I'm like, oh my gosh,
such a humanitarian.
So I was saying, like, I have a close Pisces friend who's like, this was several years ago, and she was like, I'm just really worried about money. Like, I don't know how I'm going to pay rent. And then literally 2 weeks later, I got over $100 worth of candles delivered to my house. And she was like, oh, these made me think of you. And I'm like, pay your rent. Don't send me candles. Like, you know? And so it's just like, with my last dollar, I present you with these candles that I saw and it made me think of you. It's like so sugar sweet, but I'm also like, no.
Too much love. It's too much love, but it's wonderful love. One of the best presents I ever received was from a client that's a Pisces, and they wrote me, they typed this beautiful like letter out, and then bought me a wonderful t-shirt. And they knew that I was coming to this particular place for a service. It was like one of those like facial places or something. And I've read for a lot of the girls at this particular place, and she knew I was coming, and I'd never seen their faces. So I didn't know it was her. And I walked in and she started to cry when she saw me. She's like, April, you have no idea what you've done for my life. And I'm like, what? And she handed me this bag full of gifts, and she's a Pisces. And I'm like, you're killing me. Oh my God, that is the sweetest thing ever. Like, yeah, she's wonderful. And, you know, I know we didn't talk about the moons for earth signs. I will pivot so we can make the best of our time. So I know I didn't mention Scorpio moons. Scorpio moons, I do feel that we were just talking about Scorpio before we started recording, and it, you know, kind of took a turn, because anytime we're talking about Pluto, everything gets like dun, 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 you know? So, but Scorpio moons are wonderful, but at the same time, there is always, without life, there is, you know, well, death and life, like life and rebirth, that type of thing. There's a give, there's an equal exchange. And so a lot of the times when our Scorpio sons are born, or there's a Scorpio moon involved, it means that there's an ancestor that was handing this child over in some way for life to be returned to the family. But in order for that exchange, that somebody's life force or their karmic chapter was closing. So there's nothing wrong with that. I know, as heavy as that might sound to some of the listeners, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's 100% true. But I've noticed a pattern in this over the years when I've read natal charts for people, is there's always this one ancestor that's talking away. And it's the ancestor that said, hey, I knew my chapter was up. It was my time, and I've lived my life. I was 102. Mm-hmm. And in exchange for this, me going, we sent little one down. And so a lot of the times we see stuff like that. Yeah,
personally love Scorpios because, whether as a sun or moon, but just because I feel like they are such old souls, and not from that. Mm-hmm. I know that there are other signs that are like older on the zodiac chart, but like,
yeah,
there is something about the essence of a Scorpio, how comfortable they are with, you know, the underworld of things, that there is something very seasoned about their energy that I am very attracted to.
I will say this, Kendall, that Scorpios have this amazing ability to not only look at your darkness, but try to aim to understand it.
Mm-hmm. Hot.
Does that make sense? Like,
oh, 1,000%. Yes. Like, me and Scorpios, we have a layered past. I have a couple. I have a very, very, very few. But what I love about them, that I will say, is like, they're not, we don't have to be like, oh, it's, we don't mean to pick on you because you like the dark stuff. They're like, no, I love the dark stuff. Like, they're not ashamed that they like it. In my little tiny experience with Scorpios, they're like, no, I like the dark shadow side.
See, and I like that.
They stand in it. Like, we don't even have to be like, oh, I mean, they are sensitive, but I do think that they're intuitive and hardworking. And
yeah,
I
will say
the closest Scorpio to me for my birthday gave me a book of the dead, where it was book of obituaries.
Yep.
And wow. I was like, very Scorpio. Couldn't love it more.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That tracks.
Yeah. Scorpios are very karmic. So if you have troubles with Scorpios, what like Angela was talking about, like her experiences haven't always been pleasant. It just truly, trust me, I've dealt with a few and I tread carefully here and there around certain ones. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, Scorpios, if they pull up in your path and they give you a lot of difficulty, it's a karmic thing, because they are there to kind of fix something, change something. But it's typically karmic, believe it or not. They bring in a lot of karma. So yeah, good, or bad,
good
or bad. I
will say that with Scorpio, like, I love when it feels healthy and respectful. I think when things go sideways with Scorpio, or they maybe haven't healed certain parts of themselves, they can be some of the scariest to me.
Yeah,
like
underdeveloped Scorpios.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or in their like a wounded Scorpio, you know, can be pretty like dicey, you know.
Yeah, scorpionic energy, you know, just that type of energy. Sometimes if they haven't integrated their healing and they haven't you know, come out of basically an underdeveloped Scorpio or underdeveloped scorpionic placements, the darkness takes the wheel. The trauma takes the wheel, not them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then that's who's driving that ship. And that's why everybody, some people just need to get the hell out of the way. They're like, hey, you know, but hey, you know, earth signs, that grounded nature. So Virgo moons, let me just talk about Virgo moons. So I'll just get into that. So Virgo moons, they are basically, the mother's message to them is about service, devotion and service. So, but in order for you to be devoted, you must be equally devoted to yourself, or you could get into trouble with your health. You have to be careful. Like, things could kind of go awry. So always put yourself in the equation, in your schedule, in the plan. Otherwise things start going crazy. So, but devotion and service is basically what makes you feel most comfortable. This is why you're so, Miss Kendall, don't you have a Virgo moon, right?
Yeah.
but here's the thing too, be careful of, you know, when you feel things are out of control or in your external world, your internal world gets really, you know, you get overwhelmed with things. And sometimes Virgo moons can like kind of like pick themselves apart. They start taking it out on themselves, or they start looking at tiny little flaws in the home, on themselves, how they dress, how they look, and they could take it too far. And that's why I worry about the Virgo moons, because I'm like, wait, no, you don't have to be perfect to be loved.
Good, right? Are you okay?
So
I can mute myself and cry.
I'm crying.
Oh no.
No.
I'm crying because
no, it's okay. Well, because you know, I'm Libra sun and then Virgo moon. And so why I feel like crying with it is like, there, I truly feel like my placements for my moon and my sun are like the angel and the devil on my own shoulders, and they switch who's the angel and who's the devil, right? But like the Libra's like, la la la, let's create, like, how beautiful the world and everything could be, let's love everyone. And Virgo's like, how exactly are you going to do that? So, and sometimes I call my Virgo like my engine too. Like the Libra has all these ideas, right? But my Virgo is why I feel like I can do all of these things. Like it's the engine that makes it go forward, right? So they work together, but they're like in a toxic married relationship.
Well, you know something, we wouldn't get a lot of things done without that Virgo moon, because Virgo moon people are, they really hold it down. But also at the same time, don't forget to ritualize your routine by putting yourself in that routine, and your mornings are your saving grace.
Me and Kendall catch our breath at like 9:05 after all four kids are like dealt with. And we're like, hello, sending out the white flag. Are you alive? Are you part of the world?
You good?
Well, it could be too, because maybe there must be something from the essence of your own mother where she may have not have been able to do it for herself. Or it might be something that happened to you in your past life where she knew you. I mean, these are just possibilities. It doesn't mean it's a fact, but
yeah,
maybe she knew you and she realized, oh, this is the way to propel forward fearlessly in your internal world. So your external world will be balanced and okay, because you may struggle with that Libra sun. So just something to think about. But also your Mars placement is almost like your drive, your engine, your go, 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 go. So pay attention to your Mars placement, because that could be what could put stress on your internal world, which is your moon placement and your sun sign. So sometimes Mars just wants what it wants, and it's like, get the hell out of my way, and I don't care what you feel or think. It's yelling at the moon sign. And then your Virgo moon's going, well, I mean, I got to get this shit all ironed out and I need a plan. And then your Mars placement's going to hell with you. I just want what I want. You know what I mean? So it's like, as long as you kind of have a little tighter grip on that Mars, I think you'd be fine. But Taurus moons, and let's see, we talked about Virgo. So Taurus moons and Capricorn moons. So Taurus, with Taurus moons, they love their food. They love their comfort, and they love their business stuff. And they like to make sure they have a stream of money coming in. So stability means a lot to them. It is also because they may have been destitute in a past life. So the mother's message to them upon birth is like, okay. And typically they're royal. A lot of Taurus energy, they may look royal, or there's something very present. They have a presence of royalty. And it's because in a past life, they may have been in a court, I guess it's called like a court, like a castle court. They may have been somebody in position of power, or they owned a lot of land, or they were the lord of the land or something like this in past lives. Okay. And something happened to them. They were robbed, taken advantage of, someone stole their position of power. And in this life, they come into this life where they have to start over again. And that's why they are like, constantly so tenacious about getting and accumulating all these things, because they never want to feel like that again. And so they are aiming to secure themselves so they don't have to be under someone, or that's why they're great at business. That's why they will do anything to make sure that they have enough money in the home to provide for the people that they love. They're very tenacious, and they're the builders of the zodiac. So they're unstoppable. I know there's a lot of jokes about them being lazy. Well, yeah, if you give them a cocktail and a pool and some pizza, they're going to hang out. But once that time is up, they're off to work, okay? And they're like, woo, where'd they go? They're out there making money, doing something. So the thing is, they love a nice aesthetic. So they do like nice to be surrounded by nice things, nice, you know, anything you can smell or touch, like good food and things like that, perfumes, things like that, makes them feel most happy. So the mother's message to that Taurus moon is almost like saying, like, I understand what happened to you in this past life, or something may have happened where there was a destitute, or they were impoverished, or maybe the mother was impoverished and never really had enough, or they struggled. So they're offering this gift, like with that Taurian energy of investments, money, property, having a mind for business. And if you want those things, you have to work for those things. yes, you may have in a past life, something could have happened where you had a very powerful position and it was stolen from you, but don't obsess with it to the point of like, where it's like,
interfering with your health. Just get building. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's a great placement. And then we got, Capricorn moon. And I know that, Capricorn moons are very ever achieving, but they have to be careful of it becoming, their work becomes them and they can't live anymore. So they can get so consumed with those things, building, 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 growing, 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 achieving, achieving, achieving. And they feel most comfortable in that hustle and that element. And they do a fine job, but they also have to be careful that when, you know, what is the price you're willing to pay to receive it, you know, or to get that, or because they have trouble having fun or just settling down and enjoying and living life. And typically, Capricorn moons are raised by a single mother, because if you look at Capricorn energy, it's ruled by Saturn. Saturn means the father figure. So, and the moon sign. So if you have a moon, my son has a moon in Capricorn and he's raised by a single mother. That means that the mother was also played the role of both parents. So she is the mother and the father. She held most of the responsibility and called the shots in the home. So typically, Capricorn moons had to grow up really fast because their mother had to do everything. They're basically the mother and the father. They took on the father role because the father wasn't around or something's missing with the father. There's also karmic damage in the family due to a father or a male in the family. And you could do with the message what you will. I mean, it could be anything from addictions to abuse, to abandonment, to loss, to love triangles. Like they got somebody pregnant and abandoned the child. There's so many different ways of looking at it. Doesn't necessarily mean it has to be that story for that person, but it does mean that the father is somehow missing in the picture, or there's something with the father, or the father passed away when the child was very young. That could be it too.
Did we do air moons? Now that I'm thinking about it, air sign moons. I can't remember. Oh my god, I don't think we did. Yeah, because I was like, I don't.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, so I didn't want to left you guys my air signs. So I will say this first, speaking of Gemini moon. So Gemini moon, I do feel like Gemini moons are somebody that at times they have this amazing ability to provide dexterity in their life. So I find that Gemini moons feel most comfortable doing two or more things. They feel actually emotionally comfortable with it and they're very good at it. They're also really inquisitive and very brilliant people. And because if you think about what rules Gemini, it's Mercury. So they are the messengers of God. So they probably could have a little bit of nervousness or have trouble sleeping. So they have to take care of their, you know, their thoughts and make sure they're very positive, but also at the same time, they have to, they could overthink. They're my little thinkers. So they can get themselves like overthinking where they run away from their heart center. So you have to reel Gemini moons right back into center of the heart, because they get up way up in their head and they're like, well, this and then that. But once they have to work on grounding themselves and they have to work a lot on keeping the mind calm. So they have a lot of ideas, but they also have to, you know, put a little pressure on those ideas so they can fulfill the desired outcome that they're looking for. They're brilliant people, but also if they could take on too much. So the mother's message to him upon birth is sort of like, okay, you have the privilege of having dexterity in life. You can do two or more things to become great. And they can do two or more things and feel whole doing those two or more things. That's the irony with them. Yeah. Brilliant folks. They get a lot of downloads too. They got great information. If you listen to a Gemini long enough, sometimes it gets a little wild in there, but if you listen to them long enough, you will learn something new. They're like the TED talk for real. But I feel like with Gemini moons, the mother is kind of saying that there was a part of themselves in a past life, I think, that where they were only half alive in something they were doing, or they could only show this one part of themselves. So they were born into this life so they can do more than that, more than one thing, or be more than one thing. And that's why they feel whole being curious and stepping outside of things to kind of go, oh, what about this? And what about that? And they enjoy that dexterity where they didn't have the privilege to do it before in a past life, which perhaps maybe the mother either knew that, you know, when they were giving birth to this child, or giving them the gift of communication to be able to you know, network. They're very good at networking with people, making business connections. I mean, I've never seen anything like it before in my life. The Libras are very good at that as well. They just know how to pull people in. It's crazy.
Well, it also tracks for me because Gemini is my Mars. So when you're saying that's the engine, I'm like, oh, got it. Projects could never be me.
Yeah, my Gemini is in
everything. Oh
my Gemini is in Mars too. No, no, I'm the same. I'm also Gemini in Mars.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know what? Look what you're providing for the community. You're giving perspectives and you're providing information for them so they can learn and understand new things. They don't necessarily have to believe that it's true, but to be open and receptive to things by you providing different types of information and perspectives allows people to relate to you, understand parts of themselves that maybe they weren't willing at the time to look at, but because they're hearing it from you, you make them feel at home with things. And so it makes sense. And Mars and Gemini people are great at that. Mars and Gemini people, they are very good at things with the law because they screenshot. Like you have to, for everything that you put out, you want to back things up, papers, documents, signatures. You want to watch it with that. Especially with your Libra sun, you have to be careful with legal issues. Not to say that it will happen, but because you're ruled by the, like, because of the.
That doesn't like.
No.
I'm like, oh, that's curious.
You always want to check in with spirit or check in with your intuition before you sign anything, before you get yourself involved with things like that require a major signature.
Aquarius moon? Is that our last one?
So our last one. So Aquarius moon, yes. Aquarius moons are very freedom-based libertarians. They are the rebel. They're going to do very innovative things, excellent with technology. They feel most comfortable in that element. They're very, Aquarius is all about community and friends. So you got to find your tribe. So those Aquarius moons, you got to find your tribe, your people that get it. So also Aquarius moons, you need to date and get out and connect as much as you can before you settle down. Because something could come along where you may feel that there might be something, not better, but just like you haven't had that experience yet. So you want to give yourself the freedom to choose as much as you can prior before committing. Because Aquarius is all about freedom. And I always get the feeling too when I work with Aquarius moons that there are people that need to be fast friends or really good friends with their partners. Friendship is very important. They have to be really good friends to be a very good, like the partner has to be their best friend. And the mother's message to them is they are going to walk a path all their own. They're going to do things very unique. And not only are they going to do it unique, they're going to do it their way. And if they do it their way, the society will tell them, no, you are to do it this way. And they feel most comfortable going, yeah, that's nice, but I ain't going to do that. I'm going to do it my way. And not only am I going to do it my way, but I'm going to do it better than your way. And I'll prove it. That's how innovative they are. They're very, man, if you think that Scorpios are the savages, forget it. It's the Aquariuses that are the real savage. I'm telling you, they are. People think, they really believe, I'm thinking they're like, oh, Scorpios do have, you know, when, especially if they're underdeveloped, they can be pretty bad if they're underdeveloped, okay? But the real savages, the ones that just stand up and get things done, holy smokes, it's the Aquariuses. Oh my God.
No,
and you know, those Aquarius moons, they're like that, you know, they're very much like that. Nothing will stop them, especially, you know, and here's the thing, if they want the freedom, they feel most comfortable in their freedom, then that means they need the discipline to keep it. That means that without the heart, and it also depends on other placements too. But if they want to achieve that freedom, that get the freedom to choose when they want to get up in the morning, they want to do what they don't want to do this 9-to-5 thing. Typically, they don't want to do the 9-to-5 thing. Mm-hmm. So, but they have to have the discipline to keep it. And that's where the savage comes in. You know something, you guys? We got to talk about this eclipse coming up.
Yes, please. That's a perfect.
This is a big deal. This is a big deal. A lot of it has a lot to do with relationships. So, It's either we do the work or that person does the work, or we fix this, or we aim for that. And if it just ain't working, it ain't working, because what's for you can't miss you. So a lot of things, we're going to see something or someone falling away from our lives. It may have already happened. And it could be an old pattern. It could be, you know, it depends on the measure of certain things and circumstances. We all have our unique stuff going on in our lives, right? It could be a relationship. It could be an old pattern that we're just done with. We're like, no, I'm not going to attract these type of people, or I'm not going to do that anymore. This job is like burning me out. I'm not going to hang in that energy no more. Mm-hmm. Or where I live is bothering me. This chapter is over. But the karma that you had to go through, and karma is not necessarily a bad thing. It just means that you're like getting a lesson and you're kind of paving through it. You're kind of like mavericking your way through that karmic stuff. And you get to the point where you're just like, yeah, I just think I've exhausted all reserves and I'm done here. I've given my all, you know, and what is it worth? Is the juice worth the squeeze? I mean, what the hell, you know, whatever mm-hmm. is going on in your lives, you know, personal, professional, you know, even physical, like how do you feel physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually? Are you exhausted? Where's the imbalance in your life? Where are the cracks showing up in your life? What needs to go? Because it ain't working. Something is not working. So it's got to go. Aries season starts the new energetic astrological year. So it's like, this is like new karma. It's like hitting the reset button. Like we're starting over. We got through that heavy Pisces season, which was really tough. And keep in mind, we just like went through, oh my God, that Pluto and Aquarius transit. Are you kidding me? You guys remember that, right?
No, mm-hmm. It took the wind out of
my sails. It took us to our knees.
It literally took us to our knees.
So here's what's interesting, you guys, about this eclipse. Now, eclipses are like wild cards. It's fate. It's destiny. We got the lunar eclipse that's with the Libra full moon. So it's like boom, boom. So we're releasing a lot of stuff here. But a lot of these events that are happening prior to this Libra full moon and eclipse, lunar eclipse, we are... we're going to see like great, like permanent change in something. That means like what isn't working has got to go. And there it's black and it's white. Like there's no gray area here. It's like, boom, it's done. And so one minute we could just be hanging out with someone. Next minute we're like, where did that person go? Like, or, oh, they just quit last week, or, oh, it happened. Like, you know, just weird stuff that's happening. It's like a wild card. So is it directly related to the other eclipse that's happening on April 8th? It's a little different because this is all Mars energy. And when we got Mars involved in the middle of Aries season, we got conflict. And this eclipse on April 8th is going right over the United States. It's hovering right past Texas. So we have conflict, and we already got things going on that are not very comfortable in the United States. So you can only imagine what this could really illuminate, you know, things could go awry, technology, you know, just different things. You know, they've been talking about these solar flares or like the power grids going out, stuff like that. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen, but with these eclipses, it could eradicate things, especially because it's going over the United States. And that was something that really bothered me about that eclipse on April 8th, because it's in Mars and Mars is conflict. Mm-hmm. And so
I was just going to say I saw this in the news that they're thinking about closing Texas schools for the eclipse on the 8th, which I've never.
No way. Are you serious?
I am not kidding. They're literally like, and you too.
Mayors. Yeah, so not in Houston during that time, because something about it, I don't think it goes like directly over us, but I know it goes over San Antonio and Dallas and maybe Austin. But the mayors put out something. My mom was talking to me about this last week, that the mayors have put out like an SOS in those cities, mm-hmm. of like, make sure you have all of your water, your food, your everything. And so I was like, the fact that the mayors of these cities are like, you need several to essentially ISDs. Bunker down.
1, 2, 3, like, 4, 5, 6, yeah. 7, 8, 9.
And then they're like wanting to close the schools. Like, yeah, this I don't like trips this. Me out.
You ready for this? I didn't even know that that was, you girls are from Texas. I didn't even know that they were saying that. Yeah. So check this out. I have a lot of girls that I read for, that book readings with me, that are from Texas, and they have children too. And I have a continued client that I work with, and she actually not too long ago booked with me, but she booked me repetitiously in the last like two to three weeks. A couple things came up with her. And every time I was reading, I was like, what the hell is this? I saw government cards. I saw some weird stuff going on. I had like the tower card, for those that know tarot, like the tower means like there's like sudden change. And I'm going, what is going on? And it was right in the middle of Aries season. And then when I was looking, at this passage from this April 8th eclipse, it's going right over the middle of Texas. And then it goes up and it's crossing through the United States. I'm like, no way. And yeah,
I looked up like how many solar eclipses has there been since I've been born. And there's been like a couple. So never have I heard school closing for this. Like,
no,
it
ever.
Stuck out to me. It stuck out to me in that way of like, wait, what's going on here? Like I did. And I'm not somebody that indulges in news. So the fact that even me and Kendall both knew that little like tip, and neither of our kids are in the school system yet. They're too young. It did cause me pause. I remember seeing it and I texted Nick. I was like, hey, did you see that they're going to close Texas schools? Like it really took me off guard. I don't know why. It doesn't necessarily, I guess, mean bad, but I just was like, it felt ominous or like.
No, it feels like somebody knows something they're not sharing. That's what it feels like.
I don't know. It gave me the
pin. Like you don't willy nilly just be like, anyway, get your water bottles and your food and kids can't go to school unless like somebody knows something.
Well, yeah. One of the things that I will say astrology wise is this is highly unusual. I don't think that we've, you know, I have to look more into it, but for it to go right over Texas, which really is in alignment with some of the patterns I've been seeing from my Texas clients that is coming up this year between now I was reading between, you know, leading into the spring, so to speak. And when I was looking it up, I was like, my God, this eclipse on April 8th is in Aries. Mars rules Aries. Mars is a conjunct Saturn at that time, which means conflict, which means there's going to be problems. And it's going, and then I looked a little further. I'm like, wait, that's right over Texas, which Texas has been coming up a lot in my readings with clients, but not only that, in my predictions for 2024. I've said some things about Texas. And that's a whole nother conversation, but yeah, it's
yeehaw, literally yeehaw.
I mean, if there was one person that would, or if there was one state that was about to just yeet out, it would be Texas first.
Well, I mean, you can edit this out if you want. In my 2024 predictions, I had predicted going forward that Texas would be one of the first states to dismantle themselves from the federal government, and they becomes its
own. That would make complete sense.
It would be its own entity. And I predicted that it would be one of the first states to do it. And they got the balls to do it.
Oh God.
And they're not going to take any shit. Yeah. They're not going to take any shit. It's just the energy that people, you know, it's just what it is. Mm-hmm. But I was talking about this on Instagram, like, a few weeks ago, and then here we are with this whole eclipse thing. So yeah, I do believe there's something odd coming. Now, if they say it's going to be a solar flare, I'm not quite going to believe them. It's bigger than a damn solar flare. I believe it's, they're messing with things and they're calculating moves, and I can go on and on, but this is my intuitive feeling. My spirits told me this today. They said if they say it's a solar flare, don't believe them.
Yeah, no. Also, team, I just like looked up quick the solar eclipses like since the early 1900s. I'm not, this is literally only like 7 dates, but just see if you guys think this is as curious as I do. Okay, so solar eclipses, June 1918. Okay, then we jump to 1994. So from 1994 to 2024, so like what, 30 years, we have one in 2017 and then the other one in 2023 and then this one coming up in 2024 and then the next two aren't until 20 years and then 50 years. So it's like,
if we're still here.
Yeah, I mean, real.
Well, I mean, my God, if you got Pluto in Aquarius, uh, not a Aquarius, Pluto and Scorpio, you're definitely born in a time of complete destruction of systems. If you got Pluto and Scorpio in your natal chart.
Let's see.
That's me. Yep.
No.
That means you guys were born. Wait, you knew too. What you were getting yourselves into.
Wait, yes. Me too, Pluto and Scorpio.
No, I'm done.
Of all the 12 signs, she's like, oh, also, you guys.
No, it's funny because, yeah, Angela and I really don't share any of our the other chart. Houses. I think we just are our Mars and our Pluto.
Yeah. There we go.
What a time to be alive. I want to say this, you guys, though. You know, with this Pluto and Aquarius transit, I mean, it's really going to get revved up leading to November 19th and all the way into January 18th of 2044. Yeah. We are going to see so much innovative stuff with technology, the global financial systems, the political institutions. I mean, the last time this big shift happened was with the American Revolution. So it's a big deal. So you guys were basically, you got the assignment. You knew what you were doing when you got here. This is probably why you're doing the podcasts, you know, because your outreach really provides something for the community. And just whether it's relatable, the content you had is relatable, but, you know, it kind of gets people's minds off the news and just different things like that. And you're entertaining. That's why you got the Jupiter in Leo. You're entertaining. You're at the right place at the right time, kind of energy. But yeah, these transits, we have to be very careful with that Pluto and Aquarius transit with the AI. And a lot, we have to be very careful with being so dependent on these systems that we become victim of them. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a little dangerous in there. So we can start to see cracks in like technology where it could work against us a little bit. So that means our money and the banks and things like that. That's the digital money is all being discussed right now. And then we have to be careful with aviation. So we're gonna start hearing more on the news about weird stuff with aviation. And so that's why we're in the position what we're in now is the destruction of systems, and Aquarius is going to come in and try to clean this up. So it's better, not worse, where we have to not forget that we are a part of humanity. Very interesting with Pluto and Aquarius transit. Very interesting. And we're going to see more and more of this as we go forward. So.
Hot dang.
I'm excited to see how it plays out. Excited in a trepidatious way, but like in a like what is it's coming whether or not. So I'm like, let's see how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, I mean, things have yet to materialize, and they will in certain areas, and then from there, because if we don't have a problem presented, how do we know how to fix it? I know people get scared of things, but it's like, okay, if we see something isn't working, then we have a better sense of how we can make it work for the better.
But can right? I just tell you, this is what really tripped me out. And I get that we're on we're born of a different generation, but it's so crazy that one of my friend's kids, she had to open a bank account for her because she's a kid who has been selling her art in the digital reality space.
Mm-hmm.
So like where people are like decorating their homes in this digital reality, and she's been selling her art for people's homes in there. And so she had to open up a bank account for her to get paid for the art she's selling in there. And I was like, this is crazy to think of where we're going to be in a very short amount of time that there are preteens and teenagers making money from like designing things in an AI world.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. It's all this. Crazy. All that
it just blew
stuff.
My mind.
Mm-hmm. And you know, AI and the whole Aquarius energy in general brings up also aliens. We'll be hearing stuff being discussed about that. I know it's like haha laughable, right? But it's like it will be hearing more about it. Like they'll be like, oh my God, like this and that, you know? So,
okay.
Like
well, if you can hear us, aliens come to Texas.
But yeah, because they, you know how they joke about Aquarius as being so out there that they're like an alien, but mm-hmm. we might be hearing about extraterrestrial stuff like more and more and more we'll be hearing about. And the technology is going to get different even with travel, where they're going to see cracks in the technology with aviation where it'll become so advanced it'll almost be like these UFOs, you know, stuff like that. I mean, just the stuff that we don't even have, we can't even begin to think or imagine what they already got now, but it's yet to come out.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. for real.
What a trip.
Yes. No, I mean, it's a big deal. And then, you know, coming up to you guys, like we got that Jupiter in Gemini transit that's coming up on May 25th. And this is where things could get really strange with our plans. So like we might be so distracted that we'll have difficulty making plans around this time, and even including worldwide, we might be seeing that something's coming and then it's like not. So you might be seeing in the news like weird stuff going on, but in our personal lives, that transit will still affect us. So we have to get comfortable in that Gemini energy, because Jupiter is all about expansion and growth, but Gemini is about network and like information. So we have to be very careful about the information we're receiving. Is it true? Like a lot of the stuff they're posting on TikTok and different things, you notice how like many of us now are reading through the comments to see if it's like a lie, to see mm-hmm. if it's real. Do you do that?
Because I did 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone will send something to me, like a client, go, oh, did you see this? And I'm already like in the comment section reading, like, is this real? Like, because I don't want to post something, talk about something if it's not real to my clients. And be careful of getting too distracted where we think we're making plans and those plans they could fall apart, or something gets really confusing in there.
Can I also say, I feel like reading the comments is like the new people watching. Like, exactly. You know, like where you're at an airport and you're just like, what are all these characters, right? Like the comment section to me is like my people watching at home. I'm like tucked into bed and I'm just like, oh, that was a good zinger. Or like, people live this way. Okay. Seeing people's like digital footprint all together. Oh, for
sure. Sometimes the jokes in the comments are better than the original TikTok.
Usually.
You know what? You're right. Yes. Yeah. You are right. Sometimes I'm laughing harder at the stuff in the comments than I would be like laughing at something that they posted. Do you know what's hilarious? As I was looking at the transits too for the end of this year, and I was cracking up because we have a retrograde at the end of the year. I think it's like,
don't say this. I can't take any more retrogrades, like, bro.
I know. It's like, oh my gosh, I had written it down here and I was looking at it, I was cracking up laughing at my notes. It's right at the end of the year, and I believe it is going to be ironically on April Fool's Day is the start of Mercury retrograde. Isn't that laughable? April 1st to the 25th.
Astrology's got jokes. Wow. So the solar eclipse, I guess historically, like, highlights a lot of things in our lives. Some karmic stuff comes back up. Relationships that were going on in October 2023 or situations or problems might come up again. As far as like, do you mean like ending and completing a cycle with that, or just like coming up to problem solve again? So everyone guard your loins and just it doesn't
honestly, I loved what you said about it being like black or white. Right. To me, that actually was like a breath of fresh air of like, nothing feels actually more freeing to me when something like
happen. Yeah. It's just going to happen. And it's going to be sudden.
Like,
it's
I can accept that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. When something's like gray and I have to like put a thing, but when I actually find a lot of relief with the feeling of just like, oh, I'm done, or this is a yes. Like, I love those black and white moments. Right. So when you said that, I was like, oh, praise be. Like, I'm okay with anything going or staying as long as I'm like, oh, I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's what fate and destiny is really, that's what it really truly is. It's something that you can't go around except through. And it's like, there's no way around it except through it. And so, and it's basically, it's permanent change. And what is no longer in alignment for you will fall away. Whatever it's regarding person, place, or thing, you know, whatever's going on in your life, that is no longer serving you, where the cracks are, the imbalances are. And sometimes it shows up in our personal relationships or at work, you know, and you're finding yourself feeling not very good about something. And those issues may have come up back in October of 2023 in eclipse season. And those issues will be revisited and communicated during this time. And if they are not resolved, then it's time to go. It's either we grow forward or we say goodbye.
That hits. Wow. Well, April, thank you for joining us today on The Unpolished. Can you talk a little bit about the services that you offer if people that are listening are interested in getting to either maybe know themselves more or get guided on a certain area of their life? Like, can you speak to how that works?
And I just want to say really fast before you get into it, is that speaking from two people who have used her services, we went very like surface level today just to be able to like lay the groundwork. But April is really great at like specific, if you have questions, like specific predictions, something that's coming up in your life. So I just don't want it to be like, oh, I'm going to book a reading. And then of course she can go through your natal chart and like tell you what to look for. But it goes much more in depth than that on a one-on-one with April. So
well, Kendall, thank you for saying that. Yeah. So I will explain to you all what I do, who I am, and who I am as much of what I do. So I'm naturally very gifted in mediumship. So I'm very good at psychic investigations. So I do have people that come to me for unsolved mysteries, things like that, or missing persons, or just, or if there's a passing that people want more answers and closure for. So I do connect with your ancestors immediately when I open in the reading. So that's inevitable. You will be getting that upon each and every visit that you connect with me. I do use Angel Tarot and I integrate that through my mediumship work. And your ancestors are always with you. So they will always show up in full support, whether you book the hour, whether you book a 30-minute, whether you book the 90-minute. In terms of my services, the 30 minutes, just a little bit of like, just kind of brushing across the surface of, you know, anything that you would specifically like me to focus on. The 60 minute is where we get more into depth with, you know, your loved ones that have passed, and we get more into depth of anything, person, place, or thing, professional, love, things like that. But I always ask at the top of the call, what is your intention for this booking? Because I want to hear it from you guys, like something in your head and your heart that you want me to specifically cover. That way we don't, you know, waver off that specific thing. And then the 90 minute, you get like a natal chart reading. We get into depths of some past life stuff. If I feel that it's like, you know, like if we have to cover that, it will be covered, like to better assist you and help you reach, you know, your highest good in this life. Like if you feel like you're a little lost, sometimes those readings are really nice and in depth and people really enjoy them. But that some people utilize the 90 minutes for other things. So it's really what you'd like to make of it. But that's pretty much, you know, what I do. And then I have, should I talk about my podcast on conspiracies?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, sure.
Is that okay? So because I do these psychic investigations, I get a lot of my clients that reach out about what's going on worldwide. And so if there's like a mysterious death, especially if it's a celebrity or someone that's in the mainstream media and people are like, April, this is really weird. This is so suspicious. What do you think? So I started doing these readings and pulling up the celebrities' natal charts of people that strangely passed. And it started to become such a trend that I'm like, I should just record these and just like do, just post it on a podcast. And sure enough, I did. And it, the podcast is called Conspiracy. So it's not how it's spelled, but it's C-O-N, the word spirit, and then C's. And it's on Spotify. If you guys want to check out my, you know, my live recordings all over there, it's unedited. It's all, it's just like straight to the point. The most memorable one, you guys, that blew my mind that I've yet to talk about. So those that are listening are going to hear this for the first time. I had done a live reading on JFK, and this is why I love what I do. And I was in a way connecting with JFK's spirit, so to speak. And we're getting into depth of what really happened on that day of his assassination. And I said a specific detail of what happened in that car. And even I couldn't believe I was saying it. And I was like, I know this doesn't make any sense to people that are watching because of what the media showed you and what everybody told you what really happened.
Well,
for those who want to check it out, you guys got to check out the JFK reading. But what happened was the fatal shot came from inside the car. Someone opened their coat that was driving the car and took a gun and shot him in the head. The other shot came from, yes, the trees, but they doctored up a video. And how I found this out was I did the reading live in December. It was published and it was out there on my podcast. Then I had a client that came back to me sometime in like, you know, early 2024. I was like, oh my God, I think it was in February. And she goes, April, you're not going to believe this. I go, what? She goes, you are one of the very first psychics that had actually ever said that he was shot in the car. And they just came out with a Netflix series called something like Conspiracies, The Octopus Murders. And it was like episode 3, like 36 minutes in or something, where literally they just revealed that the video that they show the United States people, the citizens, American citizens, is a lie. They basically showed that it was doctored and that the actual footage of the video of what really happened that day, there was a fatal shot that came from the car of one of the guys from our own CIA workers or those bouncer guys that,
that are there,
that are paid to protect the president. He turned around and pulled the coat open and shot him. And there's no way I would have known that. And this came out in like, yeah, like January. Oh God, I think it came out.
Yeah,
like
I'm seeing it. Yeah, sometime. I looked it up. Yeah. I can't believe this hasn't hit my Netflix feed because it's a 93% match and it came out in 2024. American Conspiracy, The Octopus Murders. It's a 4-part series. I will be watching.
Right. And I think I had my co-host look it up because I didn't believe it. I said, this is crazy. Like how could, but this woman came to me in my DMs and says, April, you are the only person that I've ever heard say this. And it was a live reading in December. This is unbelievable. And this finally came out. And I was crying. I couldn't believe, I said, my God, my spirits are something else. Like, because I saw it in my head. There's no one that could, I even said on the podcast, there's no one that could tell me otherwise what I just saw. Like, I was so convinced that that was going on in the car. And everyone's like, no, April, they shot from the trees. You know, people are just saying different things. No, the fatal shot was someone that opened their coat like this and they lowered the gun so no one could see. And he went and just shot him in the head.
Well,
and the spirit of JFK said that. And the only reason I interviewed him, so to speak,
Yeah,
I did. I interviewed him. He was very sweet, but he did say he's been around a lot in the White House because his nephew, RFK Jr., is running for United States presidency.
You can't even explain this kind of stuff. This is the kind of stuff that makes me feel like, are you guys understanding what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I want to like shout from the rooftops, right? So if you guys are interested in JFK, she did Matthew Perry, she has 2024 predictions, all of that. I will link how to get to her podcast in the show notes and then how to book her on her website. But truly, thank you so much.
And we
for
have
joining.
Something special because we have a code.
So for those of you that are listening, come check out my website at austriastoundance.net. And if you'd like to get 20% off, I'll be
Dang, 20% off. Look at us go.
Yeah, toot toot. 20% team. This is and the code is we're gonna put all of this in the show notes, and you can also we'll put it on the graphic on our Instagram, but it is unpolished 444.
We gotta throw those angel numbers in, you guys. Yeah, unpolished 444 because it was angelically all divinely happening for today. Everything conspired for us to meet today.
No, it really did. All these different on the back end, there were so many different moving parts that like fell together. Even the fact that we're all meeting tonight fell together. Mm-hmm. Like, anyway, this was meant to be out in the world for some reason, and so we hope that you enjoy it.
Yes, we hope you had
had a great time and
fab time. Yeah, I was going to tell the team that the code runs from when the podcast is released until. Can you tell us the runtime, April? Is it a month, right?
It's for from April 1st all the way to April 30th.
Okay, perfect. So
Unpolished 444.
Yeah. Unpolished 444. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Honestly, thank you for your time. We as mothers know that it is sacred to have some time away from the kids, away from work. Like we don't take it lightly. We really don't. Kendall and I are very respectful of like when people are sharing their voice with our listeners and with us. And so we're just really thankful to have you on.
Yeah, it's a gift. Thank you.
It really
Thank
is.
Thank you so much, Kendall and Angela. I love you guys. Thank you so much.
I love you.
Okay.
All right. Bye. See you guys next week.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
That's a wrap from your girls, Kendall and Ange. Thank you for listening. Send this to somebody that you think will like it. XOXO, the Unpolished Girlies. Bye-bye.